Well, there's a word that is not found in the Bible, but it is one of the key truths found in the Bible, and that is the word Trinity. The word Trinity actually means three in one. And when we talk about the Trinity, we actually are saying something like, oh, there's one God in three persons. And we always say the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and we think about the Trinity. Now, there's a truth here. We can believe the Trinity. We can believe that there is one God in three persons. Now, I want you to understand, we're not saying there's one God and then there's three gods, three different gods. No, there's one God in three persons. We can believe that. We just can't really comprehend that. We can't comprehend in the same way that we can't comprehend that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, 100% man, 100% God. We can't comprehend how God is the sovereign ruler of all things and works everything according to the counsel of his will, and yet at the same time, every decision you make, you're responsible for, and every decision you make counts. So it all fits together. It's just hard for us to comprehend it. And so when we start talking about the Trinity, we're saying, okay, yeah, the Trinity. The Bible talks about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But to grasp how there is only one God, and yet he exists in three persons. So we'll see it as we go about it. We know we always talk about the Father. We talk about the Son. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, some people actually say, well, the Holy Spirit's not the same as Jesus and the same as the Father. Well, that's true. The Father and the Son are different, and the Son and the Father, I mean, but they're all God. The Old Testament, the old King James always called him the Holy Ghost. You remember? And I remember when I first started reading, there wasn't anything but a new, I only had a King James Bible. When I became a Christian in 1969, there wasn't the New American Standard or the NIV or any of those. So the King James said Holy Ghost. And that the word ghost actually means spirit. That's what it is, a spirit. So we'll talk more about that. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? Is he a person? Is he a force? Is he some type of being? How does he deal with us? How does he deal with us individually? How does he deal with the church? How does he deal with the world? Well, I think it's a good time to look at this. I actually had several people ask me some questions about the Holy Spirit. And so I looked the last time that I actually taught anything dealing like with the Holy Spirit separate from anything else was about 10 years ago. So I think it's probably a good time to look through some of these things. There are a lot of questions. The Holy Spirit deals with spiritual gifts. He deals with the Christian life. He deals with all kinds of things. Let me give you an outline for our study, okay? And so we're going to start, and this morning we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at the personality of the Holy Spirit. Since the Holy Spirit is a person, he has a personality, and we'll talk about that. We'll also go ahead, because it's not going to take very long to deal with that, we'll look at the Holy Spirit, that the fact that he is God. And, it's the same thing. There are people who say that Jesus Christ isn't God. Well, there's some people who say that the Holy Spirit isn't God. And so we're going to talk about that. Then the third thing we'll look at is the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And we're going to see the whole idea of creation. We're going to see revelation and inspiration. We'll make sure we know what all that is. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit's work with people in the Old Testament. You know, the Holy Spirit deals with people differently in the Old Testament than he deals with people in the New Testament. Did you know that? I mean, did you know that the Holy Spirit did not permanently indwell people in the Old Testament? He permanently indwells believers in the New Testament. So David writes in one of the Psalms and he says, "O Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me." In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit could leave a person. It had nothing to do with salvation. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit can't leave. The Holy Spirit permanently indwells us. So there's differences there. Then this is one that I really love, the work of the Holy Spirit concerning Christ. And I just put a couple of things there, birth of Christ and ministry, but there's so much more. The conception, his death on the cross, his resurrection, all of that ties together. Then we're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And this, we're going to talk about how he gave us the Bible, this revelation, inspiration. We're going to talk about what does the Holy Spirit do in the lives of unbelievers? What does he do in the lives of believers, especially dealing with our salvation? What does he do with us daily? We're going to briefly, and I'm saying we're not going to go into a lot of details. We're going to briefly look at the gifts of the Spirit, okay? I've done a whole study that was 20-something lessons. Hour lessons, 20 hours on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to barely touch on that, and then we're going to put it all together. So that's the study for this semester in our grow group. So it's a lot of good stuff. Let's start with the personality. Here's what I want you to understand. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force. When you think of Star Wars, and of course one of the new Star Wars has come out again, and I remember going all the way back to the original Star Wars, and one of the statements was, may the Force be with you. And the Force in Star Wars was this power somehow, and it could be used for good, used for bad. I know a lot of people who think the Holy Spirit's like a force. He's just some power inside of us that when you become a Christian, God gives you a power. And the Holy Spirit's not a power. The Holy Spirit's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not some power in our life. Let me tell you, they did a study. Lifeway is a Baptist organization. They did a study with Southern Baptist churches. And that's the reason that it's just Southern Baptist, because it was their study. But they asked people, who is the Holy Spirit? Almost 50% of the people in the churches believed that the Holy Spirit was some kind of power from God, but not a person. Okay, I want you to understand, the Holy Spirit's a person. In the same way that God the Father is a person and Jesus Christ is a person, the Holy Spirit is a person. Okay, so I just want you to understand that. He is a being. He does not have a body. And that may seem strange to us, but I want you to remember this right here, that God is a spirit. John 4:4, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Does our Heavenly Father have a body? The answer is no. Does the Holy Spirit have a body? The answer is no. The only member of the Godhead who has a body is Jesus Christ. For all eternity, Jesus Christ was a spirit being. Until at a point in time in history, he left the glories of heaven and became a what? A human being. He became a person. John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He became flesh. Galatians says, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son born of a woman. And so the Holy Spirit is a person. He does not have a body. Listen, a person has personality. Look what he has. He has a mind. Romans 8:27 talks about what the Holy Spirit thinks. He thinks and plans. 1 Corinthians 2 talks about the Holy Spirit. He thinks and plans. He has emotion. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. You can upset the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that? The Bible says, do not grieve the Spirit in which you've been sealed to the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit has a will. He makes decisions. 1 Corinthians 12, guess who decided what spiritual gift you would have or gifts? You know who decided that? Holy Spirit, okay? Because that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:11. Says the Spirit gives the gifts as he chooses. So when we start thinking about the Holy Spirit, he's a person. He is to be obeyed. He can be lied to. He can be insulted. Hebrews 10:29 says that when they were offering sacrifices, after in the book of Hebrews, they had believed in Jesus Christ, and then they went back and did sacrifices again as if Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough. And the writer of Hebrews said when they did that, they were insulting the Holy Spirit. Okay. You've heard of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that is? We'll get to it later on, but you know what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is? You remember when Jesus was doing miracles and some people said he does it by the power of Beelzebub? That means by the power of the devil. They were saying Jesus' power was from the devil. Jesus was doing his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said that if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, basically you're rejecting Christ as Messiah and Savior, because you're saying Jesus is from the devil, not the power of the Holy Spirit in him. That's what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. And so we see all this. He is to be obeyed. He can be lied to. He can be insulted. Let me tell you something that's unique. In Greek, it's in the Greek grammar, just like our stuff, just like Spanish and those kind of things. If you've got a masculine noun, if you've got a pronoun, like if it was a man, you'd say the man, he, or the woman, she. Well, in Greek, the word for spirit is actually neuter, okay? It just means the word itself is a neuter form, okay? But the pronoun used with the Holy Spirit always is masculine. Now, if it followed Greek grammar, it would be a neuter pronoun, but it doesn't do that. Let me show you something. Let me show you this. You're in John 16. Look at John 16, verse 13, because look back at verse 12. Jesus is telling his disciples, he said, I have many more things to tell you, but you can't bear them. But when what? What does it say? But when, what does it say? Verse 13. But when he, who? The Spirit of truth comes, he, masculine, will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and disclose it to you. He will glorify me, for he will take care of mine and will disclose it to you. The pronoun used with the Holy Spirit through that whole thing is masculine. And what he's saying is he's a person. He's not, if it was neuter, it might, you might think, well, it's not really a person, it's just something. But he used the masculine on purpose to show that he is a person. He is always called a person. He is never called a force. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, all three come together. So the Holy Spirit is a person. Just remember that. The second thing is that, you know, the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. All three persons are God. I mean, it's just hard for us to comprehend this, but there's one God in three persons. So the Holy Spirit's God. Let me just give you this as you're going through your sheet there. In Acts chapter 5, you know, we don't have to turn there, but this is when Ananias lied. And Peter says, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. You have lied to God. He calls the Holy Spirit God right there. So I just want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. And you think about that. Now, let me give you this. This is John 14, 16. I think in your handout, I think it says John 14, 6. I made a mistake. I just didn't put the right verse. It should say John 14, 16, where he says, and if you've got your Bibles, turn a couple pages back to John 14, okay? Just a few pages back. And I want you to see that. Anybody back there? This is where the Holy Spirit, this is where Jesus is telling them he's leaving, but he's going to give them another helper. And look what he says, verse 16. I will ask the Father, there's the Father, and he, the Father, will give you another helper. And the way that's written in the Greek, it literally says another of the same kind of helper. Jesus has been telling them, I've been your helper while I'm on the earth. I'm leaving. But after I leave, the Father will give you another of the same kind of helper, meaning let me give you another God, so to speak. Now, just remember, one God, three persons. It's hard for us to grasp that. Now, let me show you the attributes. These are the attributes of God. These are also the attributes of the Holy Spirit. I think in your handout again, it has Hebrews 9:4. It should be Hebrews 9:14. So just correct that. It says the attributes of God. Is God eternal? The Holy Spirit's called the eternal Spirit. Is God everywhere? Psalm 139, verse 7, where can I go and hide from your Spirit? You can't because he's everywhere. Is the God all-powerful? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit all-powerful? Yes. Psalm 104, verse 30 says that he can do anything. He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. So when you think about the Holy Spirit, the first thing is he's not some force. He's not some power just that's like a power that you certainly have this power to do stuff. It's a person living in you to empower you to serve God. Second, he is God himself. And when you think about God, you say, well, I know there's God, the Heavenly Father, because we say, our Father, which are in heaven. So we got a Heavenly Father. And I know about Jesus because he walked on the earth and he did the miracles. So we know he exists. Well, the Holy Spirit exists in exactly the same way. We haven't seen the Father. We probably won't see the Spirit. Who do you see? You see the Son, Jesus, because he's got a body. So think about this. Let's talk about the baptism. When Jesus was baptized, tell me about the baptism. What happened? Somebody tell me anything. Jesus came up to John the Baptist and said, I want you to baptize me. And John went, no, you need to baptize me. And so Jesus said, no, this is for fulfilling all righteousness. Jesus was going to identify with fallen man. That's why he came to get baptized. Okay. And what happened? John baptized him. And what happened when Jesus came out of the water? Anybody remember what happened? What? The Holy Spirit came down as a dove. So here's the Holy Spirit. And then there was a voice from heaven. And what did it say? This is my beloved Son. So who's speaking? God the Father. Who's coming down? God the Holy Spirit. Who's coming up out of the water? God the Son, Jesus Christ. So they're all there. They're all throughout the Bible. In the Great Commission, Jesus came up and spoke, saying, all the authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There they are. So the Holy Spirit is God. Just don't get messed up. Let me show you something that's neat you may not have thought about. Think about our salvation. The Father came up with the plan. Remember, the story of the Bible is how the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his Son, Jesus Christ. So the Father came up with the plan. That was to bring man back to himself. The Son carried out the plan. He's the one that left the glories of heaven. He came and redeemed us. He died and rose again, paid for sin, all of that. But guess what? The Holy Spirit reveals the plan. The Holy Spirit convicts unbelievers so that they would understand, so they could believe in Jesus Christ. You understand that? Listen, if you're talking to a person about Christ and the Holy Spirit is not convicting them, they will never believe. Now, the Holy Spirit convicts the whole world. So he doesn't convict just individual people. He convicts the whole world, every person. But if at a particular time he is not convicting a particular person, they're not going to trust Christ. because we're dead in trespasses and sins. So we'll talk more about that when we get to it. So the Father came up with a plan. The Son carried out the plan. The Holy Spirit reveals the plan. Now, the Holy Spirit has an amazing ministry, and we're going to start it. But you think about this. He's all throughout the Old Testament. In fact, I've had people come up to me and say, well, the Holy Spirit's not in the Old Testament. I said, really? Yeah, yeah. You know, the Bible talks about Holy Spirit and you know. And I say, really? Tell me something. You've never seen the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? Well, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. And the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. I mean, the Holy Spirit is all throughout the Bible. And yet there are a lot of people who will just say Holy Spirit's sort of a New Testament idea. Let me ask you this question. Being born again, is that Old Testament or New Testament or both? It's both. Exactly. Most people believe that being born again only starts in the New Testament when Jesus said you must be born again. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. That was Old Testament passage, because Jesus, the New Testament doesn't start till Jesus dies. So Jesus was telling Nicodemus you have to be born again. Being born again is a concept throughout the whole Bible, not just the New Testament. A lot of people don't think about it, but they think, well, Holy Spirit wasn't even talked about in the Old Testament. He's talked about in the New Testament. Well, let's look at it. Let's think about the Holy Spirit's work in the Old Testament. We're just going to get started on this. Let me look at the clock. We got a few minutes. Let's talk through it. Sometimes we forget the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament. And so here's some questions. What ministry did he have? Did he indwell people in the same way he indwells now? We could say he did indwell people, but he didn't permanently indwell people, and we'll get more about that. Let's see some things that he does. He's the creator. The Holy Spirit is the creator. Now you thought, wait a minute. I thought the Father was the creator, or I thought Jesus was the creator. You're right. All three members of the Godhead created the universe. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, who's God there? God the Father. In the beginning, God the Father created the heavens and the earth. Colossians chapter 1, 16 and 17 says, all things were created by Jesus Christ. All things hold together because of him. They were created for him, by him, and through him. In John chapter 1, he says, everything that's ever been created was created by Jesus Christ. So did the Father create all things? Did the Son create all things? And in Genesis 1:2, it says the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. Guess what the word hovered means? It means fluttered. It's like wings. See, sometimes when the Holy Spirit made his presence known, he looked like a bird, right? What did he look like at the baptism of Jesus? Dove came down. I know that sounds weird to us when we go, the Holy Spirit look like a bird? Yeah, that he's hovering over the face of the deep. He's the creator as well. So the Spirit is the creator. Now, guess who creates people? Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made man. Who's the Spirit of God? Who? Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image. That's plural. Who is creating mankind? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So be careful, because I've had people come up to me and say, the let us there is God and angels. No, angels don't create. Only God can create. And so God, the creation of a person. We got one more that I want you to see, and that's the creation of animals. Psalm 104, verse 30, it says the Holy Spirit creates animals. It says the Spirit creates them, and they're alive, and they eat and stuff. That's what he says. So he's saying the Holy Spirit created animals. So the Holy Spirit is active in creation. So we're just getting started on this. So in the Old Testament, bottom line is that he created people. He created the world. He created the animals. So the Holy Spirit is not second class. I've had a lot of people say, well, the only thing you really need to know is Jesus. Well, I think you need to know the Father, don't you? And would you say you need to know the Spirit? Yeah, you need to know them all. So as we begin, God, the Holy Spirit, is the creator. He is a person. He is not a force. He's active in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the life of Jesus. He's involved in our salvation, our Christian lives, our future. So let me give you some applications before we break. First, let's understand the person of the Holy Spirit. This means who he is. And he is a spirit being. And that's okay. We'd say, yeah, I mean, he is. God the Father is a spirit being. God the Holy Spirit is a spirit being. Jesus used to be a spirit being until he became a person. Now, he's still the eternal Son of God. He's just taken a different aspect because he becomes the God-man. Second thing, understand the person of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. And you can look through the Bible, and every aspect of what he does is God. The second thing, let's begin seeing the work of the Holy Spirit. And what we've only touched on this morning is he's the creator. We got a whole bunch more to look at in the Old Testament and in the life of Christ and the New Testament, but he created the heavens, the earth. He created mankind. He created the animals. He created all things. So as we begin our study and thinking about the Holy Spirit, the life, the ministry, the person, the work, we have seen that he is God, he is a spirit being, and he is the creator.